Did you bring a Bible? Everybody brought a Bible? Then I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, even if it's in your phone. Give it a couple minutes here. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to read the whole chapter. So the Bible is going to speak. You don't have to stand since I'll do the reading, so I'll stand. But follow along. I want to begin in verse 3. Let's skip the first couple of verses and just start in verse 3. Today's message is called What Yeshua Said Concerning the End Time. What Yeshua said concerning the end time. The reason we're doing this is because there's lots of theories out there. There are lots of speculation out there. There's lots of talk about this getting to be the birth pangs of the Messiah, and these things are coming. And if you're to pull anything, whether it's YouTube or cable or satellite, and you hear the ones that have programs there. Even the messianic programs, that you'll find some disparity in what everyone is saying. And so often, when that is the case, then the admonition is to go back to the Word. What does the Word say? I don't care what anybody else has to say if it doesn't line up with the Word. We have been told, as Bereans, that we are to check it out and let the Spirit, our Spirit, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, check out and see what is being said, if it lines up with Scripture. I tend to be a fundamentalist when it comes to Scripture. So I'm not going to apologize at all. I'm just going to state what it is. What I mean by fundamentalist. The Bible. The Scripture. To call it different. The Word of God. The New and the Old. The Greek and the Hebrew. The words of Yeshua. And the words of His Father. All the same. He exalted His Word, according to the Psalms, even above His name. How many names does He have? Have you ever counted them? Does He have like 100? Anybody think He has 100 names? Raise your hand. 200. 300. That's as far as I've gotten counting. I probably haven't counted them all yet. So if He's got 300 names and you still can't describe Him, there are not enough adjectives and there's not enough language to describe Him. Imagine the Psalm saying that He exalted His Word above the fact that we can't even describe His name. Think about it. Think about what that means. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before everything began, after that Passover, after the Seder, Yeshua went there to keep the vigil. And He prayed. And evidently John must have watched it because he recorded it, okay? Even though he found the apostles sleeping, somehow John recorded it. And we have it recorded, his prayer. His prayer that says, sanctify them by Your truth. Set them apart by Your truth. Make them holy by Your truth. Make them kadosh by Your truth. What's truth? Your Word is truth. This is where we hang it all, on the Word of God. So I'm going to take the time to read what it says. Because if anybody knows about the coming of the Messiah, it's the Messiah Himself. Okay, no amount of dreams, no amount of human anything can even compare to the Son of God, who is both man and God at the same time, who is divine. If you start messing around with the divinity of Yeshua, you will get in heresy. Yeshua is both man, 100%, while he's on the earth, he was on the earth, and 100% deity. When he returns, he won't be man again. He's returning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's returning as deity. He's returning as the King. Okay? But for that period of time, the 33 and a half years, he was all man, all God at the same time. I don't understand that. I'm not supposed to. It's a divine thing. It's one of those, I've got a secret that the deity has with us. I got a secret. You go, what is it? When you get up here, we'll tell you. So let's get up there so we can find out, okay? I'm reading from the TLV. The heading for this section, which begins in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 24, the signs of the end time, end of time, not end times, but end of time. The signs of the end of time. Appropriate. Verse 3, as he was sitting in the Mount of Olives. Sometimes I've got to produce for you a little bit of context. The Mount of Olives is outside, okay, outside of the Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. And you are at the Mount of Olives. You can see across the old city, the ruins and all those things. This is a favorite place of him to go pray. This Mount of Olives is also the place that he'll return to, which means this is the place he left from. So let me just say, this Mount of Olives, it transcends time. It transcends everything. It's very important that you realize where he was. Okay? Where he was when he spoke this. He's speaking this in the place that he will ascend, but he hasn't ascended yet. Matthew 24. Okay? He hasn't even gone to the execution tree yet. And this will be the place where he will come back to. Is that in the Bible? We need to go. We don't need to go do that. I think you guys know that. You Bereans know that. This is the place. The disciples came to him privately. Privately. In this, the context here maybe allows for some other than the 12. Okay? It allows because it says disciples, not apostles. Okay? But for sure, the 12 are there. This is before the Seder. Privately. And the scripture says, they said, tell us, number one, when will these things happen? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? Number three, there's an and, but I'm going to add what the and is joining. And what will be the sign of the end of the age? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? That means what will be the sign of your coming, what will be the sign of the end of the age? Yeshua did not ignore the questions. He's not known for ignoring the questions. He's known for providing awesome answers. This is what I want you to hear. What were his answers? Verse 4, Yeshua answered them. So he did answer the questions, okay? Now, in the message that's posted, I use color. In my private Bible, I don't. The reason being that whatever I mark, I'm going to tend to want to go just to that and not look at whatever else. And there's a tendency to leave out context. And also, I have this experience with the Lord. I read for 100,000 times, I've read da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then one day I pick it up, and while I'm reading da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I read a word after or a word before, and I transport it into the throne room. And the Lord downloads a revelation for me. It would be harder for me personally. This is a personal thing. I'm not judging, and I'm not comparing, okay? Personally, for me, I prefer to leave the word alone. I don't even like red letter. Okay, so, however, I'm producing this for me and for you. In this way, I will tend not to follow a rabbit trail. So, this I mark in red. Be careful that no one leads you astray. That's the first thing he has to say. Be careful that no one leads you astray. Verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will lead many astray. Verse 6. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed. In other words, you need to, when you hear wars and rumors of war, Yeshua's words were, chill. Quiet it down. Don't get all bent out of shape. Because when we do, it's like the certain things take over. When we do that kind of thing and we're upset, we become angry. And when we become angry, we say, think and do things that we would not do if we did not allow ourselves to become angry. The same thing is true. If we become alarmed, we can be driven into fear. And evidently, there's nothing in here that he's saying that we need to be fearful about. The word fear is not in here. So see that you're not alarmed. If you start to get alarmed, I have a suggestion for you. Turn on the cold water in the shower and jump in it. It will absolutely calm it down. Even hot water will do it. But if you want to really shake it a little bit, put that cold water in there. And it'll calm that thing right up. I marked this in red. For this must happen, but it is not yet the end. So when you hear about wars and rumors of war, for example, Ukraine and China and all of that, chill it. Verse 7, for nation will rise up against nation. Well, this sounds like CNN here. And kingdom against kingdom. And, I mark this in red, there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. You notice he didn't say across the entire. Look what he didn't say, okay? The Messiah said there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, plural, but it doesn't have the word all. Chill it. But all these things are only the beginning of birth pains. You like to know about labor? Talk to the ladies. If your memory is left you a little bit, talk to Jean. Because she's present in the congregation right now, and she works in with babies. All nurses know what to do, etc. But she deals with this all the time. And some ladies will come in and there will be the freaking out. And or the husband, or the mama, the dad, or the grandpa, whatever. And the nurse, you know, she just has to be Mrs. Cool. Mrs. Cool. Relax. It's not coming right this minute. You're only 8 centimeters. It's going to take a little while here. Just take a deep breath. Drink a little bit of cold water. Iced tea or whatever. Just chill. Verse 9. Then they will hand you over to persecution and will kill you. Who's he talking to? Okay, he's talking to the disciples there. So right now, maybe you don't want to call yourself a disciple. Right? Right now, you'd want to like, it's like if somebody came, you know, a Nazi came into the door with a machine gun and said, how many Jews we got here? Right? Come on now. Come on now. So there's got to be some in here, so then maybe we'll volunteer a name. Okay? Sydney. Volunteer Sydney's name. Okay? It's over there. And, you know, or maybe you want to volunteer a different other kind of name. But that's probably not the time that you'll go, well, I'm a Messianic Jew. Does that count? I mean, he was looking for a Messianic congregation. So think about what I'm saying. You will be, I marked it in red, hated by all the nations because of my name. Why are they going to hate you? Because you're American? Are they going to hate you because you do this or you have the dollar? Or what are they going to hate you about? What is the deal all about? His name. His name. Capitalize, my name. My name, Yeshua, Savior of the world. About the Lord. It's about the Lord. Roe v. Wade was about the Lord. I've looked at no less than 50 males that went across my thing from all around the country and other parts of the world. And I am actually surprised. Because at this time, the emphasis seems to go to the people in the congregation and those who may have had an abortion or those who are, you know, the emphasis goes to people, horizontal. I understand that there is a component of people. But this was not about people. If it was about the people, it would have continued. Why did the Lord choose to put an end to it? Because it was idol worship at its highest. And the blood of babies was being sacrificed in the altar of self-gratification and my rights, etc., 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 like the king and I, etc., etc., etc. Yul Brynner, the Pharaoh in the Ten Commandments, he was the king. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Yeshua. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Yeshua, for it is the power of salvation to all who will believe. Therefore, in my pulpit, I am absolutely thrilled that an ungodly law is bit the dust. It's about God. And then, verse 10, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Verse 12, key verse. Because lawlessness, the King James Version uses the word iniquity, but the Greek translation is lawlessness, which is anomia, and nomos is the law, but in Hebrew, that would be anti-Torah. Lawlessness means against the law, which is really not the law, but the Torah of Adonai. Because lawlessness, anti-Torah sentiments, etc., will multiply. I marked that in red. The love of many will grow cold. Verse 13, I also marked it in red. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the Messiah. So, side comment. If they were all going to be raptured away, who will be there to stand to the end? Well, according to the standard teaching, it would be the Jews, which includes the Messianic Jews. So we're the ones that get that privilege. All the Baptists and Methodists and everybody else, they're gone. But we stay. It never hit me right. And I was in the church world for a long time. So, obviously, he's telling his disciples, hey, fellas, maybe there were ladies there too. Hey, if you endure to the end, you will be saved. That means that, well, he's telling his disciples, prepare yourselves to endure to the end. This is. I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of any. I'm just amplifying his words right here. 14, this good news of the kingdom, which is called the gospel, which shall be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to the nations. And then the end will come. Okay. Those people that feel that there has to be a global coming to the Lord and preaching of the word and all those things didn't get it out of a can of soda pop. It did not come in a bazooka bubblegum wrapper. And it wasn't a little paper in the popcorn box. Cracker Jack. Thank you. All right? This came out of the words of Yeshua. Verse 15. So then, when you see, and I underline or mark this in red, the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet. Yeshua calls Daniel a prophet. One of the post being in Babylon. You see that standing in the holy place. Let the reader understand. Okay, so what is am I supposed to understand? How many holy places are there to Adonai? Marilyn already said that. She already spoke about that. The apple of his eye. He's not coming back to the north. He's not coming back to the south. He's not coming back to the east. He's not coming back to the west. He's coming down at the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem. Duh. So let the reader understand that there's not but one place that has been declared holy for all eternity. Okay? That place is always, No matter what happens, come back to that place. We're going to have to come back to that place. Verse 16, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The ones on the roof must not go down to take what is in his house. And the one in the field must not turn back to get his coat. Woe to those who are pregnant. So people are still getting pregnant and all those kinds of things. That would stop if there was the world was nuked. That's what I mean by adding a little something here and there. That just don't be possible. And those who are nursing babies in those days. Again, babies don't have a way to withstand such, except for the mom. Verse 20. Pray that you escape. What? My escape will not happen in the winter or on Shabbat. Of course, we can go ahead and point the finger at the Jewish people. It's you. Well, with that same finger, it's me. Because I'm here and I'm part of Israel. Did you somehow forget what we read at the beginning? That we have been grafted into the tree of Israel? So there is only one tree. It's the same one from the beginning of time. The same tree. And the Jewish people, even if they fall away, can be grafted into their own tree. And praise the Lord that we are grafted into that tree. And we have obtained the adoption of sons, which Isaiah 66 talks about. And all kinds of things like that. So, listen, I'm hooked to the vine. I'm hooked to the root, which is Yeshua. And anyone who is hooked to the root that is Yeshua is now part of the whole of Israel. 21. For then there will be great trouble. The King James Version uses the word tribulation. Such as has not happened since the beginning of the world until now, nor even will. Verse 22. And unless those days were cut short, no one will be delivered. The King James Version says that there would be no flesh saved. But for the sake of the chosen, for the sake of the chosen. Well, if the chosen are not in this great trouble time, what would that mean? But for the sake of the chosen, that means they are going through it. This trouble that Yeshua is talking about. Those days will be cut short. You can get into, is it 3.5? Is it 7? Is it, you know. I'm just going to take the Lord at his word. He's going to cut them short. Whatever that is. Verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah. There he is. Do not believe it. What did he say? Do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray. You know, they'll be able to turn sticks into scorpions and sticks into snakes. That's happened before, didn't it? Didn't that happen before? So they can do all kinds of great things. But you've got to know who the real McCoy is, okay? The real McCoy, that's the one we're interested in. So as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen. So Yeshua said that we're going to be tested in that area, basically. Because we could be led astray if we don't keep things under control. 25. See, I have told you beforehand. 26. So if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness. Don't go out there. Or look, he's in the inner rooms. Don't go, don't believe it. Verse 27. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. What does that mean? Okay, it doesn't say the coming and a half and or the half and then followed by the other full, or it doesn't say 1.5 or 1.25 or 0.75. It says the coming. There's only one. There's only one, okay? I'm just reading what it says and making a comment. And you don't have to worry about, well, am I going to miss it? As far as the east is from the west. Well, that's like infinity. 28. For wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will gather. Now watch. But immediately after the trouble of those days, what days? The days that of great tribulation, that is in verse 21, that we are supposed to endure to the end so that we can be saved. He's not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about us, okay? I'm not really talking about the rest of the world. They can believe what they want to. I am concerned about you. I have jurisdiction over you. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. After those days of tribulation. I think people call that post. Like the cereal. Okay. Verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the land will mourn. Wait a minute. Not the tribes of Israel? I mean, did I miss Israel in here? And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. That's when the cloud thing happens. According to Yeshua. With power and great glory. And then, verse 31, he will send out his angels with a great shofar. Okay. And they will gather together his chosen from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to another. This, my friend, is not optional. This not nothing to do with you. He sends his angels. How many are there? I have no clue. 2 to 1 over the other guys. How many? He will send them to see if you have the, because he can detect the Yeshua mark from I don't care where he's at. And when he sees you, you might be at that point smooching with your husband or your wife. My wife and I do a smooch before we go to bed. We could be at that moment, boom, gone. We both have the sign of Messiah in us. We have the Father's name on our forehead. I don't know if the angel that's getting me and the angel that's getting you are going to keep us together. I don't think it's going to matter. Okay? So if when that time comes, that's the word rapio, rapture. Verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. Now wait a minute. Did you not, in the previous verse, already think about Matthew 13, and the wheat and the tares? Did you not think about that? So just in case you don't, Yeshua says, parables, parables. He's not going to describe the parables. The minute he said the word parable, I got it. Because that's exactly what happens, that he, in that parable, he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. Because if you try to tear them up before it's time, you will tear out the wheat with the tares. Let them grow together. And then the angels will come in, and they will have a sickle. That doesn't sound like a pillow. He's not bringing my pillow. He's bringing a sickle. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if I want that. But that's what he said. And he will sickle me out, okay, and leave the chaff there. It's not like an option. And it's not like I can, I know what it is. I can prepare for it and all this kind of thing. So learn the parable of fig tree. He says, you know, you still have to rely on the parables I've given you. When its branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I tell you, this generation, what generation? Is he talking to the generation of those disciples? Or is he talking to the generation that sees these things? By context, as an English kind of person that I'm not, but I am, that this right there refers to the generation that he's talking about up here. Not the ones present, but the ones that he's talking about here. Also, when you see all these things, I already said that. I mean, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things happened. If that generation is the generation that gets to see all these things, we're not going to be able to get the easy way out. Okay, let me just, you know, just set the book straight. That generation will not pass away. That means we're not going to die. That means we're not going to be cut off. Some might. If it's your time, it's your time. Hallelujah. And we could just say, Lord, let it be my time. You know, so I don't have to go through these things. But if the Lord tarry, as they say, I'm going to be right in the middle of it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Did he need to say that? Isn't this like emphasis? Okay, verse 36. But that day and hour no one knows. I marked that in red. Not even the angels of heaven or the Son, except the Father alone. Sometimes we need to hear what he didn't say. He said the day and the hour. He didn't say the season. So I'm left to speculate that maybe we can know what that season that is. What do you suppose that season might be? During a high holiday. Which high holiday? Why Sukkot? Right away you said Sukkot. Why? Okay, but what's Sukkot all about? Dwelling in a tent not made by hands. Dwelling in the safety of the Almighty. We're called to have communion with him during Sukkot. Not another time. We do different things other times. But for this one, we gather in one place. We look to the east, not to the west, not to the south. You know, we look to the east because he said there will be the sign of the Son of Man. And where is the sign of the Son of Man coming from? The east. Okay, so we are going to be looking to the east, which is what we do in Sukkot anyway. And we're not even in a building. We're in a kind of a thing. Right? So that the angels won't even have to break any sweat to come in and go, gotcha. And when you feel the gotcha, start rejoicing. You see what I'm saying? Start rejoicing. Verse 37, I could have preached on this today. For just as the days of Noah were, I marked that in red, so will the coming of the Son of Man. He goes to explain what he means by that. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Obviously, because at the beginning of this discourse, he said there will be some that are feeding babies and some that are going to be, etc., etc. Those are common things to life. Until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away. Here's another emphasis point. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What I could say is the following, okay? Just trying to be short. Everybody's going to be concerned about everything about their own life and their own thing and whatever. And you can be consumed by our lives and our thing and whatever. And not really be paying any attention at all. Somebody say, well, look, there's a bigger moon out there. Say, I ain't got time. I've got to fix this. And I got to do this laundry or whatever. See, this is my bedtime. I don't care what it is, okay? We're going to be concerned. We can be so concerned with our own stuff that we don't pay attention to his stuff. But he said we have to look to the heavens. There will be signs in the heavens. Now, the ones of you that are into astronomy and those kinds of things say, okay. All right, that might be what that means. No problem. Two men will be left on the field, one taken and one left. And two women will be grinding in the middle, one taken and one left. They really amplify this out there. So there's novels and shows and about the ones that got left. The way it was taught to me when I first came into Christianity is that the Jews were the ones who were getting left. The Jews and the sinners. Ha. Awesome. Awesome, huh? Hey, did we read the scripture? Don't boast. Did you read that word? It's in the TLV. Do not boast. And what is exactly did I get the impression of when I first came into Christianity? That el mamito. Okay? Pretty boy Floyd. Those are the ugly ones over there. That should give you saying, because el mamito is not a description of Isaiah 53 of Yeshua. Just saying. Verse 42. Therefore, I marked that in red, stay alert. You do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not let the house be broken into. You can say, oh, what a nice thing. Oh, I think this is a statement to fathers. But again, I'm not preaching today. This is to fathers and husbands right here. That statement is to fathers and husbands. We're the ones that have that responsibility. Okay, I'm not preaching. Verse 44, so you must also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So be careful that we don't become like, well, it's when Sukkot, and if it's not Sukkot, he's not coming. He left out some here that says, he could throw me a curve and I could strike out. Everything is a really good picture. This says the faithful servant. Who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whose master finds him doing so when he comes. Amen, I tell you, his master will put him in charge of all his possessions. Again, I could actually say, this is primarily speaking to husbands and fathers. But if that wicked servant says in his heart, my master is taking a long time, I don't have to worry about it. It's not happening anytime soon. So he doesn't do his job. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on the day he doesn't expect him, at an hour he doesn't know, and he will cut him in two. Well, that sounds really nice. And assign his place with the hypocrites. There were weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what Yeshua had to say about his coming. I have some comments and then I'll finish. The Bible says, point number one, is not in the Bible. I'm adding some things here, okay? Just a little something to, because I have a responsibility to get you ready. So how am I going to get you ready? Well, let's have a collection. Let's go buy guns and gold, you know, and God and, you know, 4Gs, etc. And then some of you go, well, I ain't got no money. So maybe, oh, maybe John has money. So I'll go with John. Okay. Number one, the days we live in are evil. This is a fallen world. The days we live in are evil. Ephesians 5:10-20 says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, take no part in the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that are done by them in secret. Luke 12:3. Yet everything exposed by the light is made visible. For everything made visible is light. This is why it says, wake up, you sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. So pay close attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Make the most out of your time, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Okay, so there's no reprieve. We are in the day, though for sure, we are in the days that are evil. And notice we're supposed to expose everything. Well, is it convenient? No. Is it convenient? Somebody said, well, somebody watching on YouTube could get upset that you're saying that you're rejoicing over Roe v. Wade being removed. Well, that's okay. You can just go ahead and discard me, because my reason is not about you. My reason is about the Lord. The Lord. The Lord, the Lord, and the elimination of the altar of Molech in our country. Number two, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Is that a principle in Scripture? So, if the first is last and the last is first, then we at the end time, shall be like at the beginning of time. We, at this time, shall be like the early church, as it said. So the early church got a one-way ticket on a 747 ride, air-conditioned with it, whatever, to go to heaven. Every single one of those disciples that Yeshua is talking to here, except for one, died a martyr. But we're better than that. Nah. Sorry, we're not. Look. I know everything that God does will endure forever. There is no adding or taking from it. God has made it so that they will serve in and revere him. Whatever exists has already been, and whatever will be has already been, but God recalled that which is past. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. That's Matthew 19:30. So look back to see what happened to the early church. That's what will happen to the latter church. Simple principle. Number three, remember the Lord before the day of evil. It's easy to remember the Lord when you're dying. So it reminds me of the movie with some guy from Florida State that I couldn't stand when he was at Florida State playing, and I couldn't stand him as an actor either. But so he's drowning, and he says, well, make a deal. if I make it to the shore, I'll give you 50%. And then he does the Abraham thing. And as he starts getting close to the shore, I said, well, how about 30%? And when he gets to almost to waiting thing, he says 20%. And when he gets to it, just a little bit of water, 10%, and when he gets out of the water, he said, oh, forget it. And everybody laughed. I didn't laugh. He says, remember your creator in the days of youth. Before the days of misery come. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last chapter in Ecclesiastes. And years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and light and moon and the stars grow dark. You know what I'm saying? Before that time Yeshua is talking about. Remember your creator. Okay? Get your spiritual house in order. I'm not talking about the physical house. I'm talking about your spiritual house. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion, trusting Samaria's hill, distinguished ones of the foremost of nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Go tell it on the... Shout it! You see the choreography of the Lord in this? Anyway. Make peace with your brothers and with everyone. I've asked that question many times here. A clear conscience is one that can say, I have made it right with whomever it is. A clear conscience is the most important thing you can have. That's what Paul told Timothy to have. The word of God and a clear conscience. Otherwise, you'll make a shipwreck out of your life. Look, there is a separation of good and evil. But if you take the white color and the black color and you mix them together, you get something called gray, right? There is a mystery, in effect, that's been declared about the disappearance of gray. And this is what's been happening. You're no longer going to be able to say, because people are going to say, what are you Shabbat keeper? Yeah? Are you a dentist? No. But are you a Shabbat keeper? Yes. What kind of Shabbat keeper are you? With the Jewish people. You Jewish? No. Well, it doesn't matter. Have you read about Corrie Ten Boom? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, the 6 million that were eliminated, there was at least 2 million that were not Jewish. Like a third. There's going to be a time when it's going to be really hard to say, well, I'm Messianic. Messianic what? You know, Messianic. Don't want to say the word Jewish because it's a stumbling block for many people. Not for God. Everything will be exposed. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. I'm not going to read it. Everything will be shouted from the rooftop. Well, it's not a mountain, but it's high. Shout it. The rooftop. Go on and tell it to the neighbors that he, Yeshua, is God. And last thing I want to say. Stand up. When was the last time you put on the armor of God? Huh? Oh, right. Well, then you can lead us. Come on up here. Yeah, I mean, just stand right there and do it. Well, who else puts it on every day without fail? Dan, okay, well, come on and lead us. You see, I can't make that statement because I forget sometimes. And you all might think that I'm, this is for me. So let's put on the armor of God. Yeshua is my righteousness. How about that? Awesome. The shield of faith. The kippah of salvation. Did you bring swords? What's your sword? Get your sword out. Got the sword. Okay, right here. And Paul added this thing, praying always. And praying always. And praying always. So get all that stuff, pray always. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. You see, there are Bereans around here. People know. Shabbat Shalom. We're done.